On this week's edition of You and the Law, attorney Richard Furlong is here talking about unions and labor law. Has this been a bad spring for unions and the law?
It has in some respects. Obviously, you had the situation out in Wisconsin where Walker won his recall election, and I think the press is overstating greatly the actual impact of that election. The fact of the matter is that he was faced with over 1 million signatures for his recall, and it did galvanize a lot of the labor movement. Elections come, elections go. Some people are trying to paint that as a setback, but I don't view it as a setback. There was a lot of good organizing that went on there and will continue to go on.
But voters in California voted to cut public employee pensions.
Well, whenever you have an economy that's in trouble, you're going to have taxpayers up in arms and they're going to start bringing these types of initiatives, so on and so forth. But everything will swing back. Everything ultimately does swing back. And I think that you'll probably see some change come the fall elections of 2012, and the unions will do okay. But from my vantage point, Mike, the elections are really secondary, and way too much emphasis is placed upon elections. The Occupy movement and some other movements throughout the country are really the story that needs to be told. And the fact of the matter is you're starting to see some real progressive movement in this country, and I think you'll continue to see it. I do not think that you can tamp it down. And the one problem the unions have had is that they place too much emphasis upon elections.
Here in New York, there's been yet another pension tier created, which will keep workers on the job, public employees on the job longer, and the pensions may not be as good.
That's true. And there was a lot of resistance to that. But let's face it, we've got a Democratic governor who's looking to run for president in 2016, and he's trying to set some sort of a resume out there that will suggest that he is willing to take on interest groups that traditionally have been Democratic. He's going to run to the middle. And that's the only reason that you saw this extra pension tier.
The theory is that unions are less involved because younger people aren't as interested, and because the economy is increasingly white-collar and clerical as opposed to manufacturing.
Well, I can tell you that in my practice, that's not what I see. There are organizing drives going on all over the place. And they're taking place both in white-collar and pink-collar and blue-collar bargaining units. There is a real sense of desperation out there now. And the only thing that stops people from unionizing that I've come across is the ability of employers and their consultants and their lawyers to instill fear in people. And they're very effective in doing that. And in the United States, the laws are framed that allow employers to do that. Many things that employers in this country are permitted to do are outlawed in other industrialized nations in the world, such as captive audience meetings, bring people in and threatening them that if they form a union, you know, the sky will fall. That's not lawful to do in most of the European nations and in most of the industrialized nations of the world. But it is lawful in the United States. But for the fear that employers legally are allowed to instill, you would have a much higher union density. There's no question about it. And the unions themselves bear some of the burden and some of the blame on this. Some of these unions are not democratic, despite laws that suggest that they have to be so. And you've got a lot of people at the top of many of these organizations who think and act and get paid like the bosses that they're opposing. Well, that obviously is a formula that's not going to work with people making $1 or $2 over minimum wage. So the unions bear some of the responsibility.
Speaking of minimum wage, that's one of the things that didn't get passed in Albany this year.
You've got a Republican Senate, and again, you've got Democrats who are Democrats in name only, and it did not get passed. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you start to increase union density, and most of that, at least in the private sector, is determined by federal laws, if you do that, the minimum wage really becomes irrelevant because the unions will negotiate way above what's a minimum wage. It's really a sector of the workforce that is not addressed once you unionize.
Here on You and the Law, Richard Furlong has been here, and we've been talking about unions and the law here in 2012. I'm Mike Desmond, WBFO and AM 970 News.